This morning at the end of the sermon, we're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper. I want you just in the quietness of these moments, would you just bow your head? Will you have the Holy Spirit search through your heart this morning? Search through the rooms of your very soul and being, and ask the Lord to cleanse you and to forgive you of anything that would stand between you and God this morning. When we come to the time of partaking of the Lord's Supper, I realize what the Bible says about it. If we partake of it unworthily, the Bible speaks about the danger of that. I pray that you in these moments will just ask the Lord to cleanse your heart from all sin, both known and unknown sin, for we commit sins of commission, we commit sins of omission. Oftentimes we don't even realize that some of the things that we fail to do that we know to do, the Bible says to him that knows to do good and does it not, the Bible says to him it is a sin. Would you bow as we pray together? And will you join me right now as we say together the model prayer from the Bible? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning as we come to our passage, it's a passage we've preached on before. It's a passage that is familiar to all of us. But the message today is this: what message are you sending in your life? And who is the source of your blessings? As we think about Thanksgiving this week, I hope all of you will think not only on that day, but I hope you will think in these next few moments what you are thankful for today. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, there's a very interesting passage of Scripture. And Luke 17, chapter 11 through 19 is a wonderful story about a lack of gratitude and also a story of one out of 10 who was very thankful, who was very grateful for what Jesus had done in this life. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, three men met him who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole." Your faith has made you whole. This morning, there are three things that you and I can glean from this passage found in the book of Luke. Number one, like the lepers, you and I have a problem that only Jesus can fix. Like the lepers, you and I have a problem, and that problem is a sin problem. And only Jesus can fix that problem. Secondly, feeling thankful doesn't equal giving thanks. Feeling thankful doesn't equal giving thanks. And then thirdly, 10 were healed, but one was saved. This morning, as we look at these verses, I would ask the question, how is your GQ this morning? How is your gratitude quotient? Every single day of life, I try to find at least one thing to be thankful for. 365 days out of the year, to find something every single day to be grateful to God for, to be thankful to God for. You see, I believe that you and I as Christians in this world, since the Bible says that we are light in this world, that we are the salt in this world, and salt preserves, and I believe that our lives should radiate every single day of life, a day of gratefulness, a day of thanksgiving. And instead of taking for granted all of God's goodness, we should be overflowing with gratitude in our heart. Whenever you look at this passage of Scripture in the book of Luke, you see at the very heart of what deep gratitude looked like. You also see at the very core of what nine left, went on their merry way without an expression whatsoever of gratitude. Young people, there was a disease that was very common in that day. It's also in our world today as well, especially in third world countries. But leprosy was a dreaded disease, and in fact, it was a disease that was so horrible and so heinous that it created all kinds of disfigurement in people's lives. They would lose their sight. They would lose their limbs. They would lose their teeth, and other horrible things happened in their body. It was a very contagious disease, and it was certainly something that kept you from having any kind of social relationship out there in the public, because in biblical days, by law, if you had leprosy, you could not come within 150 feet of a camp where the lepers were. And if you got within 150 feet, you had to cry out, unclean, unclean. And so these lepers, they were ostracized. They were pariahs. They were outcasts in the communities in which they lived. No longer could they be at home where they enjoyed, but they were absolutely ostracized as a social intimacy, as a social person of that day. They were seen as valueless. And as you look at this passage of Scripture, I want to compare the separation and the isolation that you and I have from Almighty God as sinners. Let me tell you, sin is like leprosy. Sin isolates. Sin absolutely keeps us from the presence of a holy God. And had it not been for God loving the world so much that He would step out of heaven's glory and come to the earth as a little baby to live amongst us and then to give Himself a ransom so that you and I could have eternal life. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus shed His blood to cover our sins. What can wash away my sin? The song says, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so leprosy in the Bible always was representative of sin. And just as it was incurable, it was fatal. It caused great isolation. And that's what sin does in our lives. Sin is fatal. In fact, listen what Paul said to the Roman church in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me tell you, the whole world is born with a deadly disease. The Bible tells us that sin is something that is terminal. It causes you and me to be spiritual outcasts. You see, it's in our genetic code. We get it from our parents who got it from their parents, and it goes all the way back to a couple named Adam and Eve. In fact, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4 and 6 says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They've despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it. But bruises and sores and raw wounds, they are not pressed out, are bound up or softened with oil." You see, the Holy Spirit gave to Isaiah these words some 2,700 years ago, but God could say exactly the same thing about the deteriorating culture in which you and I live today. You see, our spiritual leprosy, which is called sin, it separates, it isolates from a holy God. It's incurable. And in the Bible, no one was ever medically cured of leprosy. They were always miraculously cleansed of leprosy. And you and I are not cured of sin, but we can be cleansed of sin through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Now, you may feel healthy today, but if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, there's something wrong inside your soul. Let me tell you, there's no medical device, no medical scan that could become a diagnostic tool for the sin in your life. But God's word says it's there. And only Jesus can fix you and me by curing us through the shed blood of Christ. Now, in this story, 10 men were banded together, and they were heading in a direction. They couldn't get but within 150 feet. But Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He would perform this great miracle at the beginning of his going to Jerusalem. He was going there, young people, and where he would be crucified on a cross, where he would be buried, where he would resurrect from the grave and be the living hope and the reason you and I are here this morning. These 10 men were together. 9 of them were Jews. 1 was a Samaritan. And if you know anything about the Jews and the Samaritans in biblical days, the Samaritans were intermarried in with other people, and therefore, even though they were part Jewish and part whoever they had married into, the Jews looked upon the Samaritans with scorn because they were not truly blood Jews because of they had mixed marriages. And so here you've got 9 lepers that are Jewish that have joined up with 1 Samaritan. Let me tell you, misery loves company, doesn't it? And probably the only reason they joined up, the common denominator that each of them had, is they were diseased, they were lepers, they were in isolation, they were ostracized from their communities. And notice Jesus is coming their way. Here are 10 deformed, disfigured, diseased men. And they begin shouting and they begin crying out, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And at this point, they're not bashful at all. In fact, they cried out, "Master." In fact, that word "master" it's an interesting word. It's a Hebrew word that comes from the word epistates. It's a word that is only used here to call Jesus Master. Nowhere else was it used other than when the disciples would call Jesus Master. It's a word that has great weight to it. It's a word of honor. It's a word that has great authority, notable power, miraculous power. And that's the reason it's used here and applied to Jesus. These lepers knew of the reputation that Jesus had. They had heard about his healing miracles. They had heard about his power, and they're helpless, and they're hurting, and they're hopeless. And this was their only hope. Jesus was their only hope. Notice how Jesus responds. He didn't get close to them. They shouted him. And Jesus just shouts back and says, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, young people, in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus chapter 14, God said, if someone was miraculously cured of leprosy, they would have to go to the priest. This was, it took several days sacrificially, and it cost a great deal. They had to go to the priest, and for 8 days, the priest would watch over them before they would be cleared to go back to their homes and into their communities. You had to go to the priest. Where on earth would a Samaritan go? He could not get to the synagogue. He could not go into the synagogue, the place of Jewish worship. Where on earth was he going to go? You see, Jesus was putting the lepers to the test. Jesus said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. Jesus was going to heal them miraculously, but they were going to have to take a step of faith and travel to see the priest before healing came to their body. Jesus was going to heal them, but Jesus was going to put them to the test. Let me tell you, when Jesus heals somebody, he usually required a step of obedience. For example, in some, stretch forth your withered hand. In others, take up your bed and walk. Some, go wash your blind eyes in the pool of Siloam. And when people responded in obedience, they were touched, they were cured. And let me tell you, their obedience was a testimony of their faith. It was a channel of God's healing power. As these men make their way to the priest, along the way, suddenly they look at their bodies and they see that they have been touched and they see that they have been cured. They're on their way to the priest to be told that they eventually, once inspected for some 8 days, they would be cleared to go back into society. But there was one of the 10, a Samaritan. He couldn't go to the priest. He would not be accepted by the priest. He could not go to the synagogue. He would not be accepted there. And so what did he do? He turned to the Savior. He turned to Jesus. He fell down in gratitude and praise and thanksgiving and worship. Let me tell you, you and I, like the lepers, we're bound with this common denominator called sin. It's what separates from a holy God. And this Samaritan alone, he turns around, he falls at Jesus' feet. He worships him in thanksgiving and in praise. Let me tell you, like the lepers, this world has a sin problem. Let me tell you, those who respond in faith are cleansed of our sin through the precious blood of Christ. But I want you to notice something else about this passage. Secondly, feeling thankful doesn't equal giving thanks. I'm sure those other 9 were thankful that they were cured, but they did not express that thanks. I'm sure Jesus, being omniscient, Jesus knows everything. Jesus was appalled. Jesus was disappointed. Notice in verse 17 of Luke 17, then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the nine? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. It didn't say to give thanks that you had those circumstances. It says give thanks in all circumstances. It didn't say to be thankful for what happened, but to give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Why is it that people are so ungrateful today? Why is it that people are so unthankful today? I'm sure this morning that if you and I went up and down the busy lanes of life with the microphone and we would stop people out there in the streets and we would interview them and we would ask them questions and we would say, are you a thankful person? There would be all kinds of responses of why people would be. There would be responses of why people would not be. Maybe it's because they aren't grateful and don't express it because of negative influences. Maybe it's because they feel entitled in the world that you and I live in. You see, lots of people are unthankful because of trying oftentimes to compare themselves to other people or to compare themselves to what other people have. Let me tell you, if you look around you at what other people have that you don't have and you absolutely make that at the heart of your feelings, I can assure you, you're going to live in a world of discontent. There's going to always be people that have more money than you. There are going to always be people that have better jobs than you. There are going to always be people that make more money than you. There are always going to be people who get better breaks than you. There's always going to be people that have fewer problems than you. There's always going to be people thinner than you. I heard a guy say this past week, he said, well, I can't wait to get to heaven. He said, I'm going to be young. And he was rather robust. And he said, I'm already looking for a thinner body and hair on my head. He said, that's what I'm looking forward to, and that's what I'm being grateful for. There will always be people who are more Hollywood looking than you. There are going to always be people prettier, people more handsome. There are going to be people who have better looking wives or a better looking husband. There are going to always be people who have smarter kids than you. What about the kid this past week, I believe in England? I think his IQ is 163. Einstein's was only 162, I believe. There are always going to be kids out there that are smarter maybe than you, maybe kids that are more successful than yours. There's always going to be preachers who preach better sermons than I do. There's going to always be preachers who preach longer sermons than I do. There are going to always be singers who sing better than you. There are going to always be instrumentalists who play better than you. You know, we could go on and on and on, and the list is infinitum. Let me tell you, if you major on those things in life, you're going to live a life of discontent. You see, we're not told in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, we're not told in those verses why those other nine lepers didn't come back and say thank you to Jesus. We're not told that, but we are told that you can extract from that. When Jesus said, didn't I heal 10? Where are the nine? Do you sense the hurt, the disappointment in Jesus? You see, that one promptly, spontaneously, he returns to Jesus and passionately he begins to praise Jesus. He begins to thank Jesus for this incredible miracle. You see, leprosy for the most part was a death sentence. But this one, he had nowhere to go. He couldn't go to the temple. He couldn't go to the synagogue. He couldn't go to the priest. But let me tell you, like the old song says, where could I go but to the Lord? Let me tell you, please don't make the mistake today of thinking that just because we feel thankful means that we're giving thanks. Let me tell you, they're not the same. Expressing thanks, giving thanks, I want to challenge you every single morning of life. When you awaken, will you thank God for something during the day to give Him thanks and to give Him praise? Let me tell you, like the lepers, we all have a sin problem only Jesus could cure. Feeling thankful doesn't equal giving thanks. And third and lastly, the 10 lepers were healed, but only one of them, obviously got saved. Let me tell you, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus loved you and me so much, He was willing to pay a debt He didn't owe. We owed a sin debt we couldn't pay. Jesus was willing to come out of heaven's glory and to take our sins upon the cross and to die in our stead and to shed His blood for the remission of sins. I don't know about you, this morning I'm thankful. I thank you, Jesus, for redemption. I thank you, Jesus, for the shed blood. For the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took my place, that you took my sins upon a cross, that you loved me that much. And if I were the only person in all of the world, you would have still died for me. You would still shed your blood for me. Let me tell you, the most important decision in all of life is this. It's not what you have materially, but it's what you possess spiritually. Do you possess Jesus in your heart and life? He loved you. Can we love Him back? 9 lepers walked away. They walked away healed, but not made whole. One came back and praised Jesus. And because of his faith, he was not only healed, he was not only cured, but he met Jesus that day and gave him his heart and his life. Let me tell you, if you don't know Jesus, you have no hope in this world. You exist. You wake up each day and you go about your routines and you go about your daily life. But I want you to know, life, eternity, is one breath away, that you will be in one of two places. Let me tell you, if you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you to reach out by faith and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I inherited the sin nature. Lord, I know that you came and you died for sinners through your shed blood on the cross. I acknowledge my guilt, my shame, my sin. Lord Jesus, cleanse me of my sin. And come into my heart. You are my living hope. I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. If you've never done that, don't go away without Jesus. Would you stand as we have the invitation? I'm going to go ahead and ask our deacon body to come. We're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper after we have our invitation today. As you bow your heads and close your eyes, if you're here today and you've never met Jesus, would you please, please come to Him? Because you're only away, a breath away from eternity. Father God, thank you for this day, for this church, for all of these good people, for those that are listening today, through the radio and through YouTube. Father, touch some soul out there, I pray. Some soul for thee, some soul for thee. This is our earnest plea. Oh Oh God, help me each day along life's highway to win some soul for Thee. Father, if someone needs to come with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you just make your way down the aisle? No one looking about. Maybe you're here and you want to join this church. We've had several people joining on Wednesday night, Sunday night, some baptisms. I'm so thankful for that. If you need to come, would you just come right now? We're not going to sing. Ken's just going to play there for us. But before we partake of the Lord's Supper, would you please bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the shed blood that covers my sins. Thank you for the resurrection that gives me an expectant hope because you are the living Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're with me every step of life's way, the good times, the bad times, the happy times, the sad times. You never leave me. You promised you would never forsake me, but you are a present help in my time of trouble. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, if I didn't have you, what in the world would life be like? Oh God, today, as we turn our hearts toward this part of the service, God, cleanse our hearts from unrighteousness. God's people said, amen.